Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. Maybe the thermometer's just going off the charts. Her name is Joan Hunter. I'm catching up with her in Dallas, Texas. Her office is in Kingwood, Texas. And many of you may not be familiar with Joan, but many of you are familiar with her parents. And they're known as the Happy Hunters. And Joan, I go back many years with your parents, and they were probably the first people I ever saw minister that prayed for people and had what is called slain in the spirit. I think that's awful terminology, but where people are overcome by the Spirit of God and fall over backwards. And I remember going to a meeting with them, Joan, and they said, well, we can show everyone else how to do it too. And so they laid hands on people, and then I got up there and I prayed for people and they fell over the spirit. But then I have to tell you, 2 weeks later, I tried it and they didn't fall over in the spirit. What happened?
Well, sometimes when the anointing of God is just in the meeting for getting slain in the spirit, and sometimes it's a part of your ministry, sometimes it's not. Now, for me, I mean, I remember many, many times through the years, Mom and Dad would just go, you know, wave their hand and just whoosh, you know, 50 or 500 would all get slain in the spirit at one time, or they would each hold one hand on each end of the aisle, and the whole aisle would get slain in the spirit. And it was an awesome move of God to see that happen. And I don't know if you saw any of that ever happen, but they had, I mean, my dad would walk by people and they would just get slain in the spirit. And what's interesting is that that doesn't really happen with me. People do get slain in the spirit, but it's very, very rare. And I don't necessarily push for it, so to speak, or encourage it, because when I pray for the people get healed. And I want them to test it and to show themselves, actually, and test their healing, show themselves, show the congregation that they are healed. And if they get slain in the spirit, then I go on to somebody else, and then I forget to go back and ask, and, you know, and they get going, and nobody knows that they got healed. But it's an incredible uplifting situation when, you know, when you pray for people, one right after the other, after the other, after the other, and they're all healed.
That's much more important to me rather than falling over. And it seems to me we have a group of Christians that have been trained, and God forgive me if I'm stepping on toes in the wrong way, but I don't think I am, are trained to fall in the spirit because you're expected to, and all they do is fall, and nothing really is happening to them.
The little cliche for that is called a CD, and that's a courtesy drop. And, you know, as in comparison to somebody really, really getting slain in the spirit, as in comparison to expected to fall, and then they in turn, they're expected to fall, so they do. Whereas when the power of God overcomes you, many times when a person is really hurt in their heart, and I have prayed for their heart to be healed, majority of those people do get slain in the spirit. Then we were talking earlier about, you know, if Charles or Francis can do it, you can do it too, and that's how I feel, because the scripture says those who believe are going to lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say, you know, in my Bible it says Joan, because she believes, is going to lay hands on the sick and see him recover, because my Bible was written for me. But it pertains to every single person who believes that they're going to lay hands on the sick and see him recover.
Joan, you were raised with healing is normal, not the exception.
That is
But out of curiosity, I mean, you spent ministry healing with your parents for over 30 years. You've probably seen more miracles than any Christian on earth just because you traveled with your parents. What type of were you up front at all with them, or in behind the scenes?
I was behind the scenes, but I was right there. I basically... I was the ones that held up their arms and did a lot of the behind the scene things so that they could actually just be in the front and do the ministering, and they wouldn't have to worry about, you know, they could rest between the services and things like that. And yet I was there, you know, on the platform with them, literally around the world, and have seen at times when 50 people got out of wheelchairs, and, you know, all the people that were in the wheelchairs were now raising their wheelchairs over their head in praise to God of what God had done, and canes, and, you know, and a blind eyes open and deaf ears open, and I mean, just by the thousands, not just the hundreds, just thousands.
Now, just out of curiosity, I'm sure because your parents teach, it's not just me, it's whosoever, which is part of their calling, that you prayed for people, they got healed. Why didn't you just run off in your own ministry? Why did you stay with them from over 30 years?
I think a lot of it has to do with timing and different situations in our life. And in preparation for that, most of you who know my parents, mom is extremely strong-willed and a very strong woman. My brother is bullheaded and strong, and he's about 8 years older than I am, and very, very strong-willed. And so I was the quiet one for peace in the home. And I was raised to be the quiet one, don't say anything. I was, you know, encouraged by my teachers and my brother that what I had to say was worth nothing. So I just didn't say anything. And I would just do the work of the ministry. And by going through different situations in my life, it got me from behind the curtain up onto the platform. And it has taken many years of preparation to do that. Because, like, for example, if I went out 10 years ago, I would not be as strong, definitely not as strong as I am now, to be able to be out in the forefront and to be in the front and to be the governess of a ministry and take it forth and take it around the world. And
Joan, how strong are you when someone walks up and they say, my doctor says I'm prone for a heart attack, I've had one before. How strong are you when someone walks up like that to believe they're going to be healed?
Well, the hardest one is I've had everybody pray for me. And Oral Roberts, Charles and Francis, you know, I mean, they go down the list, which is a lot harder to pray for those people than it is if they've just gotten a bad report from the doctor.
Hey, it's harder to pray for a Christian than a non-Christian. It's my spin.
And I agree with you on that in many areas. But what happens is that when people come and they want to be healed. For example, like, you know, I was told several years ago that I would not survive breast cancer. And I would not survive emotionally. I would not survive this way. And I repented for any words that I had said that did not edify, exhort, or confirm. Then I, in turn, cut off the power of the words.
But wait a second. I have to stop you.
Okay.
Because you just said a mouthful.
I know.
You had to repent for what?
The words that were not good.
But how can someone do that? Because to be candid with you, we're all trying to be better in that area, but it would take forever to repent of all the words someone has said that were not edifying.
Right.
So how does someone practically do this?
Well, the word all is inclusive of everything and excluding nothing. So I believe that you can repent for all the words that you have said at one time. And then sometimes, you know, you may.
Hey, such a deal. I like that.
It is. It's great. And because, see, when I was diagnosed with breast cancer and I would not survive, my CPA said I would not survive financially, you know, and I might as well just plan on filing bankruptcy and this, that, and the other about 5 years ago. You know, because I repented for the words that I had said through the years, then I, in turn, had the power to cut those words off that were spoken over me.
Now, had you not repented for what you've done, repented for, and then had the words eliminated, they're called curses, word curses,
right,
over you. Had you not, and you had developed this breast cancer that the doctors gave you no hope for, do you think you would have been healed?
I probably would have had a mastectomy.
Okay, so you repented for everything you did wrong. Now, what did you do about the word curses that other people have spoken over you? You didn't do wrong. They did wrong.
Right. Then at that point, for example, the doctor's saying you're not going to live. Well, because I repented of my words, I in turn was able to cut the power of those words off over me.
Now, did you cut the power off by an intentional prayer or just because of your own repentance that did it?
I believe that either one would work, but it's better to verbalize it in the name of Jesus. I cut the power of those words spoken off over me. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And so, for example, that man that you were talking about that, you know, that's exactly what happened last night here in the house that I'm at. And the guy, I had him repent for words that were spoken over him, that he had just gotten a doctor's report. He's supposed to have an angiogram this week. Found out yesterday he had a heart problem, didn't know it, been in perfect health. And the doctor says, you know, you're going to have a heart attack by the end of the week. So we cut the power of those words off last night in the name of Jesus. And all the high blood pressure left, the pain left here, and it was incredible.
I tell you what, Joan, there's something even more incredible, and it's what I'm holding in my hand right now. It's your brand new book, Healing the Whole Man Handbook, Effective Prayers for Body, Soul, and Spirit. I must say, I have never seen an approach like you have in this book. This is actually a pioneering type stuff you have in here. How did you learn all these things? You've got like almost every disease and actually prayers to pray, how to break these things, such as the word curses and the words people have said themselves that haven't been edifying, things about marriage, things about fear and farsightedness. I mean, every disease you can imagine. How did you learn so much?
Well, 35 years in the back row, you know, and on the platform and being next to mom and dad. But what was interesting, and more so, because mom and dad have always highlighted on the physical healings, and, you know, and you deal with arthritis, and they get healed of arthritis, the pain goes, and sometimes, not always, but sometimes people would come back a year or two later, and they would have arthritis again.
Okay, look, we're out of time right now. I want you to get this book. Trust me on this one. There's things you have never even thought, let alone heard of before. The title of the book is Healing the Whole Man, donation $22. Call or write today. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape, or CD, of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.